Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. I'm going to invite us at this time to spend some time studying God's Word. And so we're going to transition right to our study of God's Word this morning. And if you have your Bibles with you today, I'm going to invite you to take a moment to find those. Or if you have your phone that has the Bible app on it, you can find that as well. And you at home, please find a copy of God's Word. And we're going to turn to a scripture passage that's found in the New Testament in the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Now, Colossians is in that run of books. It's like, okay, what's the order again? Let me help you out with that this morning. It's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, then Colossians. If you hit 1 Thessalonians, back up just a little bit. So we're going to be in Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. And last week we began a new sermon series where over the course of the next several weeks here at Westview, we're going to be assessing our spiritual health through a variety of what we're calling missional health markers. And I'm not going to go through the whole introduction again of this series. If you missed it from last week, I invite you to go to our podcast, go to our Facebook page, check out maybe the first 5 or 6 minutes of the message. That kind of lays out everything we're doing here at Westview over the next few weeks. But in brief, we are likening this spiritual assessment, this assessment to a health check, kind of like what we do every year at the doctor, where we come in and we want to see where we're at in our health. And we said we want to do more than just, you know, step on the scale and see one visible number, right? We said health in the church is more than just worship attendance and more than just the budget. But we want to do take a scan of what's going on the inside. And so we likened what we're doing to stepping onto an in-body machine, which helps us understand what's going on in our inside of our physical health. And we said that what we're doing is each week we're going to run a scan of a different component of spiritual life, and we're going to dig deep, we're going to be honest with ourselves about where we're at, because here at Westview we want to continue to take faithful steps forward in ministry, following God's will, and we can only do that if we are healthy. If we are healthy in our spiritual growth, in our spiritual life. And so we just want to take an assessment of where we're at and then be challenged week after week to take a step forward and take a step forward and take a step forward. And last week we discussed one important part of our spiritual growth, and that's the centrality of God's Word. We talked about how we want to have God's Word as the center point in our life, because in Scripture, this is where we are made wise for salvation. And the Scripture helps us to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so we were challenged to have the Scriptures as that which is central in our lives. And so this week we're going to do a different scan. And in this scan is going to be, the key word we're going to use is the word transformation. A word we maybe would have used as well could be sanctification. It's this process of becoming more and more like Jesus, more and more like the one that we follow. But we're going to put it this way. We're going to talk about a life walk with Jesus in which we are being transformed more and more into the one we follow. And so before we study this together and look at the scripture passage and run this scan, would you please join me in prayer? God, we are so grateful again for an opportunity to study your word. Our simple prayer this morning is that you would lead and guide us. Open our hearts and open our minds that we can receive all that you have for us this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Listen with me to these words from the book that we love. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry, Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge of the image of its Creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Amen. I don't think we can say anything else this morning until we acknowledge and emphasize and celebrate the first 8 words of our scripture passage, because these words are integral to everything we're going to say today. I mean, even the first 2 words really set the tone. Those words where it says, since then, Paul is naming that something is already a reality, something is already true about you and me that makes all the difference in the world, something that is the catalyst for all the difference that is to come in our lives. Paul says, since then, and we say, well, since what? And Paul says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Those words name and claim that transformation in our lives begins by being found in Christ, having a relationship with Jesus, knowing the good news of salvation. God loves us. Sin corrupts us. Jesus' death purifies us. And further, His resurrection assures us of life and eternal hope. Those first words of this scripture passage declare our reality. They declare that this is who we are. We have died. And that old former self that was ruled by a sinful nature is no more. Verse 7 says it's the way you used to walk. It's how you used to live. But no more, since you are in Christ. And now that Christ is our hope, Christ is our trust, our life is hidden in Christ. He, Jesus, is our life. Our dying and our rising with Christ is our only place where transformation can begin. And it's from this place, from the first part of verse 1 here, that Paul is writing to these believers in Colossae. This is the perspective that Paul is writing to you and me this morning. And before we say anything else, let me just hear my heart this morning. Paul's writing from this perspective, saying, since then you have been raised with Christ. Hear my heart today. My prayer for each and every one of us is that this is true for us. That this is our reality as well. That all of us here not just know about Jesus Christ, that we don't just know about His life and His death and His resurrection, that we just don't know about sins forgiven and life abundant and eternal hope. I pray this morning that each and every one of us don't just know this, but we, more than that, we believe this and we accept this, that we put our hope and our trust in this, that not only is Paul assuming something here, that this is true of us, but that this is indeed true for every single one of us, that we all have been raised with Christ. Because this, my friends, is our only sure and certain hope in this life today and life eternal. And this is where transformation begins. In Christ. Being raised with Christ. When we have died with Christ, our life is now hidden with Christ. This is an enormous fundamental shift for all of us, for who we are. You and I are now in Christ. We have been raised with Christ. My identity is no longer me, but my identity is Christ. And that's huge. That matters. That changes everything. Because we are no longer our own, but we belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. I love how Paul puts it in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He says it this way, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Paul says, since we have been raised with Christ, since our life is of Christ, Paul then says in the rest of this passage, then let our lives be like Christ. That's transformation. That's changing who we once were and who we are now into who Christ is creating us to be. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Let our lives be transformed. And Paul sets the trajectory of this transformation in the second half of verse 1. Look there with me, please. Second part of verse 1, he says, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Then he says in verse 2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Setting our hearts on things above is about putting heaven's priorities into our daily activities. Setting our minds on things above is for us to concentrate and to focus on that which is eternal, not which is temporary. Reorienting our focus of our hearts and our minds, that's an entire shift of focus. That's an entire shift of our lives, because no longer are the things of this world the things that matter most. No longer are the things of this world the things that take up unnecessary headspace and heart space. No longer are the things that we thought were so incredibly important, no longer are they that critical anymore. No longer are the things that we get so passionate about and we get so defensive about and we get so worked up about, no longer do we give them undue attention. Now don't hear what I'm not saying. There are things we need to address. There are things that we need to be aware of. There are things that we need to be accountable to and make ourselves aware of. But we don't set our hearts on them. They don't rule our hearts. They don't captivate our minds. They no longer have control or sway over our emotions or our joy or our attitude. Transformation begins with where we are oriented. And since then, since we have been raised with Christ, since we are in Christ, we set our hearts, we set our minds, we set our lives towards the things that are important to Christ. We set our hearts and our minds, our lives, on the things that truly matter in the large redemptive work that God is doing in this world. And when we are oriented to the things of Christ, then we are in a position to dig in and do the hard work of transformation. And let's not fool ourselves this morning. Transformation is hard work. I mean, ask any bodybuilder who used to be a scrawny teenager but now has muscles popping out of everywhere. Ask him about the hard work of transformation. Or ask a figure skater who put on the ice skates for the very first time and it was kind of like Bambi walking around for the first time. But now they can land a triple axle. Talk to them about the hard work of transformation. Ask an instrumentalist who struggled at the very beginning on scales, and not just the C scale, the G scale, but like the A flat scale and the E flat scale. But now, through hard work, they can play Beethoven and Mozart. Transformation is hard work. And sometimes it's just plain hard. In our case, Paul says it's like
death.
Verse 5, he says, put to death. Literally, kill. He says, this old way of life, we are to treat it like roadkill on the side of the road. Right, to consider anything and everything that might stunt our spiritual development and transformation, to cast it off, to leave it aside. That's how we're to handle anything that is a part of that old sinful nature. Paul says, put it to death. Get rid of it. Cast it aside. Lay it aside. Cast it off. Walk away. But that's hard, isn't it? I mean, death is hard. In death there is loss. In death there is grief. In death there is this longing for what once was. And that enemy will take any little flicker of flame that is still there and still a yearning and still a longing and seek to fan it into flame if we do not cast off and lay aside and put to death the old way. Transformation is hard. It's hard because there is change that has to take place. Actual, physical, tangible change. There's the deconstruction of what once was in order for there to be a reconstruction of what now is in our new life with Christ. In this putting to death, Paul says there has to be this removal. If you look at verse 8 and following, Paul starts to use this metaphor here of clothing. In verse 8, he says we must rid ourselves of such things, right? The things that we're to put to death, right? No longer to be the focus of our hearts and our minds. In verse 9, he says, taking off the old set with its practices, right? Those old habits and those old vices, those old things that are unbecoming of the way of Christ. That means the things that Jesus is not about. They must now be removed and put to death. And Paul names several of them. He doesn't name everything. But he sure names a lot of them, right? Some of them that are going to prick our hearts. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, as well as anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, and lying to each other. These are the things we are to put to death because we have a new identity to put on. Since we have been raised with Christ, we have received, and now we all the more are to put on this new identity, this new image, and that is Jesus. Look at verse 10. This identity is what we put on now. We have put on a new self. A new self that is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. Because we are in Christ, the image of Jesus is now what we put on. The identity of Christ is now what comprises our way. We take off the old and we put on the new. And Paul says in verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, he says, clothe yourselves. And before we talk about that, I want to hit one thing in that verse that I just need to name this morning. He says, holy and dearly loved. Friends, if you hear nothing else this morning of anything I say, I want you to hear this. You are dearly loved. You are dearly loved. I know there are a ton of messages out there that compete and can weigh us down. Let it not be this message today. Know that you are dearly loved. All the stuff we're talking about today, being transformed, living in the way of Christ, that is not to earn God's love. God loves you already. God loves us already. He just as we saw in baptism this morning, God's love already for Deacon. Deacon hasn't done anything yet, right? Just a little guy. But God loves him and he loves you. And God sent his son for you, and it is a free gift for us. And so everything we're talking about today is our response to God's love. You are dearly loved. And Paul says, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. Put on this image of Christ. Put on the way of Jesus Christ. Put on, do the hard work of transformation, of taking off the old and putting on the new, and be transformed so that compassion and kindness and humility and forgiveness are now your new mode of operation. Let love guide all of your interactions. Let peace be the referee that's in your heart. Exude an attitude of thankfulness and gratitude. Let the Word of Christ dwell in your heart. As we said last week, let the Word of God be central in your life. Live always as a representative of Jesus. Friends, that's transformation. Being in Christ and setting our hearts and our minds on the things of Christ and engaging the hard work of transformation where we take off the old and put it to death so that we can be clothed in the image of Jesus Christ. And our attention to this good, hard, faithful work of transformation, of a life-transforming walk with Jesus, that is the evidence of spiritual health and spiritual growth. And let me assure you this morning, let me assure you that this is a journey. This is not something that we just snap our fingers and it's here right now. It's not something that we're all going to wake up tomorrow morning and be fully transformed. This is a day in, day out, every day for the rest of our lives. And it's going to be filled with ups and downs. It's going to have speed bumps and potholes. It's a grind at times. And I promise you this morning, I do not have it all figured out. I am not perfect. I had someone tell me once or twice in a little different context, say, it's so good to find out you're a real person. They told me that this week. I am a real person. Trust me. I am not perfect. I have a bunch of people who will testify to that today. I don't have it all figured out. And you know what? Neither do you. But it is a journey, a seeking, a desire, and orienting our life to Jesus Christ. This is our ambition. Since then, we have been raised with Christ. And if I could, before we get to our reflection questions this morning, if I can add just one more thought around this idea of transformation. Friends, this evidence of a life that has been transformed and is seeking transformation, this is what an unbelieving world is watching. You know, they're not interested this morning in how eloquently I'm preaching or how I can extrapolate these fine points from Scripture or how I can talk about deep theological things. And don't get me wrong, those things are all important. But that's not what they're watching. Our greatest witness is living a transformed and transforming life in Jesus Christ. They see the difference that truth, that the truth of verse 1 is, that we have been raised with Christ. They see the difference that our identity and our image is found in Him. They see the difference that our hearts and our minds are set on things above, and we don't get wrapped up and don't get trapped up by all the entangling things of this world. They see lives that look different and are lived different because they are different because of who Jesus is and what He has done for us. But friends, let me be very honest. If an unbelieving world never sees a change in me, if they know that I am a follower of Jesus and I'm a Christian and I claim to follow this Jesus, but they don't see any transformation in how I treat my neighbor, if they don't see any transformation in how I talk about those with whom I disagree, if they don't see any difference in the priorities that encompass my life and how I spend my time and how I make worship a priority and how I disciple my children and how I use my time and my space and my money, if they don't see any change in that, if they don't see any change in how I behave, if they don't see me clothed with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience and everything else that is found in verses 12 and following, that too is a witness. And there have been times where this transformation of the church, the big C church, has not shown always so bright. I'm not just talking Westview, I'm talking big C church. There's been times throughout history, and even in recent history, where the church has responded to different needs and situations, and our light of transformation has not shown always so bright. That our hearts and our minds have been focused on self-gain rather than the things above. Where anger and slander toward one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, let alone to the rest of humankind, that has been far too often, far too common. There's been times where our witness has not been great. Not always, thankfully, but regrettably far too often. And so let me talk to us specifically, Westview. Westview, we are those who have been raised with Christ, as Paul says. We are in Christ. We are those whose life is no longer our own, but Christ lives within us, for we are in Christ. We are those whose identity is no longer the vices of a sinful nature, but now we are clothed with the image of Jesus because we are in Christ. See, we are the church. We are the redeemed. We have been raised with Christ. Our way is to be different. Our lives are to be marked with transformation, for we are in Christ. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. May our lives be transformed. Now, as we're going to do throughout this sermon series, we're going to close this morning with some reflection questions. And if you're here with us last week and you get a sense of this again, these are questions that are going to make us think. They might poke us a little bit. They're going to hit us. And again, as we said last week, this is not about shaming us or guilting us because, oh, I'm over here and someone's over here and I'm not where I should be. No, we just need to take an honest assessment of where we are, because we can only move forward from where we are. So it doesn't matter if we're here, 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 here. Let's just be real with who we are. Let's be honest with ourselves about where we're at so we can all take one step forward. And so the first question I'm going to invite us to take a minute to reflect upon is this. First question is, how does my life reflect transformation in light of my relationship with Jesus? In other words, how is my life, or is my life different because of Jesus? Right? This is just what we're talking about here. What is my witness? Has transformation happened within me? How has transformation happened within me? In who I am, and in my heart, and in my mind, and how I speak, and how I act. How is it different since I started following Jesus? Maybe for some of this has been a long time, so how is my life different today than it was 10 years ago, or 5 years ago, or even a year ago? And so we're going to just give us just a little bit of time, and we're inviting us all just to think and pray and reflect. And I can't do this for you, you can't do it for me, but I'm committing and I'm encouraging you to commit to this. Let's do our scan and find it in just for a few minutes here. Think about, how does my life reflect transformation in light of my relationship with Jesus? Reflect on that now, please. Second question is this. What area of my life is in need of further transformation? I mean, I testify, I'm not perfect, and neither are you. There's always going to be something for me from now until the day that I'm dead. I'm going to always have something to work on. This is a journey. I never arrive at perfection. And so I know for me, I've got some things I've got to think through and wrestle with. What is an area of my life that needs transformation? And I'm inviting you into that discernment and that reflection as well. What is something that maybe is a struggle? What is something that is maybe not the way of Jesus that I can be honest in this moment, that I need to put to death, I need to remove, I need to leave it behind? And so take a moment again. What is an area of my life in need of further transformation? And then our final question is going to be this. It's going to piggyback on that last one. The last question is, what must I do to pursue that next step of transformation? So it's not just one thing to acknowledge it, but let's do something about it. And so what is one step that I need to take to pursue that area of transformation? And maybe for some of us, we need to confess it. We need to confess to God, or we need to confess to a spouse, or we need to confess to a parent. We need to confess to a pastor, something that's going on in our life. Or maybe we need to remove temptation from our home, or from our computer, or from our workspace. Or maybe we need to confide in a trusted individual, or maybe we need to commit it to daily prayer, asking God to bring transformation into your life. Maybe we need to learn more or something else, but what is something that is necessary for me to order to take a next step towards transformation? Give yourself a moment to reflect on that as well this morning. Now, not a question, but the challenge will be this. It's one thing to think about it and reflect upon it here in our seats this morning. But now the challenge is, okay, let's take that step forward. Make work of that this week as we continue to grow in health together. Amen. Let's pray. God, we believe that you who began a good work in all of us will carry it on to completion. God, we thank you for the transformation that is already found in Christ, from death and sin to now forgiveness and assurance of life eternal. And God, we pray that now by your Spirit, we would pray that you would lead us in this lifetime of walking with Jesus and becoming more and more like him each and every day. God, would you hear our prayer this morning for the many joys and concerns on our hearts? We pray for a little deacon, and we give thanks for the for him and for the sacrament of baptism, in which we're reminded again of your great promises for us. We give you thanks for the new discipleship year, and we pray for continued growth and development in our faith for us all. We pray for the nomination process of elders and deacons. Continue to raise up leaders here at Westview to lead us into your plan and your will. Hear also our prayers this morning for Blaze and for the treatment he receives. We pray for complete and effective healing to rid his body of cancer. Let test results and scans come back informative and with good news. And God, for everything else that is of top of mind and within our hearts this day, you know them, even if they are not audibly spoken this morning. And now, God, we pray into the next moments that we share together as we enter into a sacred practice of ordaining those who have been called. We pray for your blessing for all that is to come. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.